wrap-up of what we had done earlier is on prophecy. So go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, I don't know about you, but have you been getting any robocalls lately? I mean, are they getting more sophisticated or what? So I got this these random calls, and there's a pause, and there's this voice, and you know, the guy's almost like you can say they react to you. It's like computer technology. So if I say, is this a sales call? There's a pause and then it's a no. And I'm thinking, so I've learned a trick. If you whistle a song, it freaks them out. Those robots don't know what to do. But you can't really tell. The technology is amazing. And so I've been getting these artificial intelligence. Try to hide in the fact that you're talking to a machine. It's absolutely fascinating to me. And they sound like they pause between thoughts. And you think, is this a live person? I looked it up. In March alone, there were a record 3 billion robocalls. That's March last year. Received across the country. You know, and a lot of people are saying, well, what's that got to do with the Bible, Jeff? Well, we're going to be talking about the end times this morning. We're going to just kind of wrap up on a prophecy update I did earlier at the first of the year. And some of you guys were here. Many of you were not here. If you're new to the church, I'd love a connection card before you go. If you want to stay in touch on what we're doing and I could give you the updates, but don't forget to do that. But I wasn't able to finish the entirety of that study, so I thought today, as we just finished up going verse by verse through 2 Corinthians, we're going to kind of pause in between, and we're going to do this study on what in the world is going on. We're going to talk a little bit about the end times and about the rapture of the church. You know, a lot of people are not talking about prophecy. A lot of churches won't teach the book of Revelation. They won't teach the prophetic end times rapture and the pre-tribulation rapture. And so I think we should be talking about those things, and I'm going to talk about them today. But what in the world is going on? And when you think about the artificial intelligence, which is AI, it's a precursor to some of the things that will be happening in the last days that the Bible predicted. It's fascinating to me about how these things have, this technology is increasing more and more. And it's more or less setting the stage for the last days, what the Bible teaches will happen in these days that we're living in. And so to me, it's fascinating to study these things and to look at the scriptures and to look at the world news and to compare them and say, you know, what are we supposed to be doing as God's people? What does the Bible say we're to do when we see these things? We're supposed to look up because our redemption draws near. That the next event on the prophetic calendar is what's called the rapture of the church. We're going to be gone. And that should bring us comfort in one way. In another way, it should also bring purity in our lives. If we know we're going to stand before the Lord at any moment, that all of our plans are just wiped, whatever your difficulties and trials are, those will evaporate. And whatever your dreams are, those will be fulfilled even in greater measure in heaven and eternity above, because we can't have the heaven on earth that we want. But we can have a victorious Christian living to live as Christ and to die as gain. So we'll talk about those things as we dig in. But let's pray. And then let's ask the question, what in the world is going on? And we'll look at some of these highlights, and I just want to stir you up to have a heavenly mindset and a purity, knowing that Jesus' return is, we're right there. We're right at the, we're living in those days, the times of the signs, or the signs of the times are upon us, but we're living in those times where the signs are all around us. I want to highlight that for your blessing this morning. Father, thank you for gathering us together. God, your people, we want to know you. That's why we're here. We're worshiping you in our lifestyle. We're worshiping you by gathering together. And we want to know you so we can go from here to make you known. So stir us up today. Equip us as your people. Lord, I believe in the people of God do the work of the ministry, that we're all called to the ministry in one form or fashion with our work co-workers, with our family, with our friends. But Lord, for anybody that's struggling in any battles that are going on in life, that we know that there is an eternity, that there's a heaven above that's waiting for us, where there will be no more pain, no more tear, no more death. There will just be joy abounding. We'll all be together again. And Lord, but in the meantime, we want to take as many people with us by telling and sharing, proclaiming, declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, that your Son so loved the world, God, that you so loved the world, you sent your only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he rose again from the dead, that he conquered the grave, Lord, we'll spend eternity together with you. Thank you for these truths. May we go from here and proclaim it and declare it. But in the meantime, we want to learn a little bit about prophecy. So Lord, illuminate, teach us, share with us. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, I'm gonna start with verse 13. And read to the end of the chapter. If you'd read with me, I'm in the New King James Version. What's the best version of the Bible? The one that you read. So just read the Bible, whatever it is you use. I choose this. Got to pick one. This is one I pick. All the pew Bibles are the same. So if you want to follow along with me, the New King James is what I use. No real more reason than just I picked it and I like it and I learned it and I think it's an accurate one. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, Paul says to those at Thessalonica. I do not want you to be ignorant. They were ignorant of these things. In other words, they didn't know. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. The one thing about the rapture, about the end times, is that it's our blessed hope. The appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ is a blessed hope. That's a hope. It's not a hope so like the world says, right? It's the hope that it's a certainty. When you read the word hope in the Bible, it means a certain expectation. It's like, I know he's coming again. It's not like, well, I hope it rains out, or I hope it doesn't rain, or I hope it snows because I want to go skiing. It's not like a hope so, we don't know, but it's a certainty. And it's, these people don't sorrow like they that don't have any hope, he says. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And we're talking about now the second coming and the rapture of the church. And whenever he talks about sleep, he likens it to death. So when a Christian dies, it's more likened to sleep, because you really don't die, do you? You just move. Out of maybe a, like, I was at the doctor recently. I don't know if you have any ailments when you get a little bit older. I've got this ailment called gout. Anybody heard of that? Oh, it's painful. I can't stand it. And, you know, mine gets triggered by sugar. So it was my son's birthday, and he had some cake and, like, three kinds of ice cream. And, you know, I knew I shouldn't have ate too much of it, but I did. And then I get a gout attack because I'm on this medicine. Anybody have gout in here? Anybody know what that is? It's like arthritis. Nobody has gout, just me. So anyway, I know there's all these, you know, remedies and things like that. But anyway, I got that whole thing. And, you know, when I get to heaven, that's going to be gone. So I'm thanking the Lord for that. And I can't remember why I was talking to you about gout. Why was I talking about gout? Oh, yeah. So thank you. So when we die, we're in heaven. So the things pass away. We don't die physically. How do I say it? Let me say this again. We do die physically, but our bodies are resurrected and we live forever in a new heaven-suited body that can spend eternity with God in the heavens with God. And so that's what's important to say, is that we will be with him forever. And sleep is not eternal death. It's that we move from one place to the other. So if you ever read in the headlines, Pastor Jeff died, it's false reporting. It's fake news. I just moved. I didn't really die. I moved. My body died and went to the grave. You guys go to the funeral. But then one day I'll be resurrected. I'll be with Jesus. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we'll talk about those things as we go through here. But that's what he says. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who fall asleep in Jesus. Verse 15, for this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, look at verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's that word harpazo. And in the Latin Vulgate, the Latin translation of the Bible, it's rapturo, where we get our word rapture. A lot of people say, well, rapture's not in the Bible. Well, it's in the Latin Bible. And the Bible was written in Greek. It wasn't written in English. It wasn't written in the King James Version, red letter edition, so Jesus knew what to say. A lot of people think King James is the best translation of the Bible because that's the one Jesus used. But that's not true. It was delivered to us in the Greek and Hebrew language, a little Aramaic as well. So if we want to argue translations, let's go back to the manuscript, the language. And so the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And that's what's going to happen. There will be like, come up here. And there will be a snatching away. We will be caught up together, verse 17, raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll always be with the Lord. And then it says, look at verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. Who's comforted are those that are looking for the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, that have a life right with him, that love him. They're comforted by this. Who's not comforted? Those that want to live their wild life their own way with God removed from the picture. It's what's called the self-life, the independent self-life. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to live it independently. God, I don't need your help. We might not say it, but we could live practically as an atheist. We call it practical atheism, that I'm not really an atheist by my words, but by my lifestyle. Practically, I live as though God does not exist. And so we want to be careful that we are comforted and are looking forward to the rapture of the church. And it's only something God can do. I can't convince you. Another person can't convince you. A book can't convince you. The Word of God can. The Holy Spirit can put that in your heart, that this is what I'm looking forward to. So that affects my lifestyle. Because people look at our culture today and what's going on with our world today, and people have told me and have said, well, I just don't see it. Things have remained the same as always. I don't see these end times things happening. You know, I've heard that before. I've heard they've been saying Jesus is coming and nothing's really changed. A lot of things have changed. I just talked to you about the whole AI stuff. And I believe we're living in the last days, and I want to make a case for that today. And I want to make a case for that by looking around the world at the headlines. And I just want to remind us, many of you are very familiar with the news feeds. But a lot of this stuff that's happening in the news really lines up with what the scripture teaches. We can't go so far in depth to it because we don't have all the time in the world. This isn't a classroom. This is more like a Sunday morning, you know, sermon. But when you think of the different players on the world stage, they were prophesied everywhere from Ezekiel 38, Daniel chapter 9, throughout the book of Revelation and elsewhere, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Matthew chapter 24. These are all prophetic passages that speak forward to what will the end days look like, even in when you think of the days of Noah are being spoken of. And these things are all around us. One of the things is, let's look at some of the headlines concerning different countries. Russia, for example, just in recent months on so many fronts, the provocative statements, warmongering or saber rattling about their nuclear capabilities and their willingness to use them. They've developed a new intercontinental missile that can hit any target they choose, and they named it Satan 2. Who does that? Russia actually does that. So I just looked up today the headlines on Russian military, 60,800,000 results in 0.21 seconds. Google shows all of the military. U.S. military invests in new weapons to defeat hypersonic missiles as Russia upgrades its arsenal. U.S. forces block another Russian military convoy in northeast Syria. That's 2 days ago. Russian military transports, people to their air base over there in Syria. And, you know, what they've recently done is now we're talking about the satellites. So they've got satellites up above that are, imagine if Russia and China, and we'll talk about China next, disable and destroy some of our satellites. What's going to happen to our infrastructure here, our intelligence? So these are some things that are happening. And now let's talk about China. Make no mistake about it, they're not only an economic superpower, they're a military superpower. And they're becoming more aggressive, and even more so in the future. Count on it. And they've launched a massive Navy drills. You remember the 40 warships in the China Sea. You've seen them collaborate and do combined arms exercises with Iran and Russia and China. I mean, that's a formidable force of military, and they're not, you know, they're not going to go after Sweden. I mean, they're after us. They want to fight with us. So add Russia and China and these rogue nations like Iran and even North Korea threatening the world. And then Islamic terrorism, advances in technology. It's saber rattling, as they call it. And these are the things that are happening. You know, the Bible says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. And it's not like that hasn't happened in the history of the world. It's just that there is a uptick of it, an increase, a multiplication, just out of control, crazy multiplication. And so these are the things that are happening. Kind of on a side note, when I talk about social media, things like Facebook, how they've had 87 million people improperly shared their information, got kind of hacked, and everything we do is recorded, all of our information. You know, somebody with sinister motives can take all of that Google and Facebook and information and use it for his own reasons, one day that person will come on the scene. He's known as the Antichrist. So all of these things are coming about that we need to just be alert to. We don't need to be scared because it's our blessed hope. We don't need to be, you know, when you see these things, what does the Bible say? Freak out. No, it doesn't say that. I don't know what your translation says. It says we're to look up. We're to be prepared. We're to be thoughtful. We're to be prayerful. We're to be purposely, intentionally, deliberately following the Lord. The weaponization of space. Many of China's space capabilities are designed to counter U.S. military advantages. And that's why we just released and we have, you know, space, the Space Force. And because you got China and Russia. They're racing to be the leaders in that area. And I read this article. It says, space war is coming and the U.S. is not ready. And I quote, we are now approaching a point where Star Wars is not just a movie, one government advisor warns. Russia and China are years ahead of the United States in developing the means to destroy or disable satellites that the U.S. military depends on for everything from gathering intelligence to guiding precision bombs, missiles, and drones. Now the Pentagon is trying to catch up, pouring billions more dollars into hardening its defenses against anti-satellite weapons, training troops to operate in the event their space lifeline is cut, and honing ways to retaliate against a new form of combat that experts warn could affect millions of people, cause untold collateral damage, and spread to battlefields on Earth. And then he says this, we are now approaching a point where Star Wars is not just a movie, said Steve Eichowitz, CEO of the Aerospace Corp, a government-funded think tank that serves as the military's leading advisor in space. Literally headed toward, it's a very technical thing. It's happening. And you've heard of the Doomsday Clock. Anybody heard of that? Heard of the Doomsday Clock? There's a Doomsday Clock. It's pretty famous. It's closer than ever. Now it's you know, we always say it's like 2 minutes to midnight. Now it's a thousandth. Now they moved it to seconds. It's 1,000 seconds to midnight. The 2020 Doomsday Clock announcement, Washington, D.C., January 23, 2020. Humanity continues to face two simultaneous existential dangers, nuclear war and climate change. You know, these guys, remember, these guys are scientists. That are compounded by a threat multiplier, cyber-enabled information warfare that undercuts society's ability to respond. The international security situation is dire, not just because of these threats exist, because of world leaders have allowed the international political infrastructure for managing them to erode. And so they say it's now 1,000 seconds, closest it's ever been. And this is a group of atomic scientists. And they're not theologians, but you can look all that stuff up. You guys are familiar with this, right? So this is something that's happening. And then there's the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. Headlines say Trump's plan for Middle East peace hinges on support from Arab leaders. That's unlikely. And so we want to keep an eye on Jerusalem. It's the epicenter. So that's why we're asking the question, what in the world is going on? These things were foretold that if you would have asked people in the 70s, in the 60s, in the 50s, and earlier on, they would have said, that's so far-fetched. All of that stuff could never happen. Go back into the 30s, that Israel would be reborn as a nation, and they were in 1948. All of these things that have unfolded show that we're closer and closer to the last days. What in the world is going on? Ready for the answer? We're racing toward Armageddon. These are what are prophesied in the Bible. And so we're not to be freaking out. We're not to be troubled by these things, but we're to look up. We're to comfort one another. We're to be people that are men and women of the book, that we know the Word of God so well that we could say, this is that, or this is not that. We know the difference. We have discernment because we've read the Scripture. We are people of the Word of God, so we can discern and sort. There's a lot of voices out there. And Acts 17:11 says that those in Berea were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. The Bereans were noble-minded in that they searched the Scripture daily to see if what was being taught or broadcast on the news or through the radio or through the sermons or through the blogs or through the podcasts, filter all that stuff through the lens of Scripture. Don't receive everything indiscriminately, but take it to the Word and say, what that is saying is right in line with the Scripture. I challenge everybody that whatever I teach on, that you make sure that the Bible is lines up with what I say, that what I say lines up with the Bible. This is our final authority, the inspired, authoritative, inerrant, sufficient Word of God. We're racing toward Armageddon, and everything is being sped up toward the end of days or the last days. Jesus compared it to labor pains. As moms know, moms that have given birth, I guess that's definition of a mom. So we've had four, right? And I remember the first time we had what were called, we learned about Braxton Hicks. Fake, like, what were those called? Contractions or fake, like, fake news, fake labor pains. They weren't, but then they were real. It was like, this is happening. And I mean, they were closer and closer and closer together. And that's what Jesus likens us to. There were a lot of fake labor, labor pains, but now they're so close together, it's unmistakable. We got to pay attention. And Jesus said that's how it would be in the end times. These warnings, these things that would remind us it's coming as we get closer to the actual unfolding of the prophetic events, these warning signs would get closer and closer together. We see it happening before us. So what are we supposed to do? We're to look up. Your redemption is drawn near. It means to look to heaven and be reminded of this, that God is in control. These things are planned. We are safe. If we're born again, if you've believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's God, that he rose again from the dead, that he really lives in you and you abide in him, we're in a good position. We're in a great place to be. And we need to know what's happening. We're talking about Bible prophecy. We're talking about this study called eschatology, the study of end times events. You know, people say, well, you can't understand. It's too complex. I said, I disagree. I think you can understand these things. I think God meant for us when Jesus said in the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel, he talked about the abomination of desolation. And he said, let the reader understand. So as you read that, and you go back, and we'll talk about that another time. What is this abomination, desolation? Well, it's the Antichrist that shows up in the middle of the tribulation period. He'll show up in the temple. We'll talk about that another time, how that all works, the false prophet and the Antichrist and all that. They desolate the temple. But we can understand these things because the Bible teaches it. We just have to read it. We have to learn about it. And he's talking about the prophetic events that's still future. Jesus says, let the reader understand. So he's not trying to hide it. Why would he say that if I couldn't understand it? A lot of people say, you can't understand it. And the New Testament counterpart to the book of Daniel is the book of Revelation. You're kind of like bookends when it comes to Bible prophecy. To fully understand Revelation, you have to know Daniel. That's why if you take a class, and I've taught these classes, but I've also learned these when I went to Bible school and seminary, and you learn a class called Daniel Revelation. You learn them in depth, and then you begin to teach them, and you learn it even more when you teach it because you have to really study. And you get greater insight into Daniel, you need to have a good working knowledge of Revelation. And Revelation means an unveiling. Revelation, it isn't revelations, it's revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's God's desire to reveal, not conceal. And that's why we say we want to study Bible prophecy. I think it's important. And God wants to put it in plain view, not hide it from us. So we don't have to be afraid of this topic. And I want to bring it before your attention. I want us to be literate when it comes to the end times. The Bible says in Revelation, only in the book of Revelation, a special blessing is promised to the person who reads the things in the book, hears the things that are in the book, and keeps them and walks in them. It says this, "Blessed is he who reads and hears the word of this prophecy and keeps the things in them, because the time is near." And so, I think we're supposed to study these topics. I think it's important that we're regularly taking a break from our study and inserting a reminder to remind ourselves that we need to be current on what in the world is going on around here when we look at the world scene. And why? Because number one, studying Bible prophecy reminds me God's control. I need to know that my God is in charge and in control of all the events of the world today, because it can freak me out. It can be scary. I am a dad. I'm a husband. I've got children. I want to make sure they're cared for and we're not, you know, that, you know, and I have to trust my Father in heaven is going to care for me and my family and care for us. That's number one. God is in control. And these things are going according to schedule. And it's a good reminder that God is in control of my life personally. If something's going on in your life, when we see these things, this big world scene that's way out of our control, but he knows everything about you. His thoughts toward you are like the sand of the seashore. And he knows every hair on your head or lack of hair on your head. But he loves you that much. So in his sovereignty, in his all-knowing, all-powerful, all-sovereign God that he is, not only does he control the world in the big sense, but he drills down to the individual you. And see, that's the comfort. When tragedy comes, what's going on? Where's God? You can count on him to be there with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So that's number one, why prophecy is important, because we see the big picture, but we also know that he's caring for me and caring for you. Number two, gives you a heavenly perspective. We talked about this a bit. A lot of times we lose our heavenly perspective. We get so caught up in the things of the earth. We get caught up on the things of our own life. And we have to have a heavenly perspective. Why? Because unexpected tragedy, a friend of our church family lost his son recently. And it was a tragic situation. But his response was in deep pain. But he said, "The Lord is with us and we're trusting the Lord." I mean, what a great response that he had. That he put his hope, he wrote a great response that he put his trust in the Lord, but he was still in pain. There's nothing that's, you're supposed to be in pain. But he put his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you why he could say that. Because when you're in a time of difficulty, God will be with you in a special way. Maybe it's just you're more aware of how he is with you. And you're hanging on to him more tightly, because his strength can be made perfect in weakness. I think we all need that in our life right now. I don't know. Sometimes we could go through an entire day without a thought toward heaven and eternity. So these things are designed for God to remind us there's a heaven. We need that in our life. When you're desperate, the only way you can look is up. Look up, your redemption is drawn near. So we need a heavenly perspective. So, there's more to talk about. Coronavirus, okay? The overall death toll past 300, quarantine expanded, central China, Philippines. Now they're having another H5N bird flu breakout. They built an entire hospital in 10 days for the coronavirus. Countries restricting visitors from China. Israel vows to pursue a vaccine. Anyway, there you go. Everybody's dying. Puerto Rico. People are displaced. They had a 5.8 on January 6th, and then a 6.4. Andrew's got friends over in Puerto Rico right now that they lost their home. Just devastated. It was a Christian teenager and his family that Andrew went on a mission trip to Peru with, and he was telling me about that. So there's earthquakes. The volcanoes erupting around the world, the one in the Philippines, leaving just ash miles, displaced 200,000 people. The raging fires in Australia, you know, it's dramatic video footage. I saw it. Post-apocalyptic hellscape. Jeez. I mean, I'm talking around the world, things you could just keep going about the headlines. These are the things that were predicted would be happening and we're to be looking up. Are you ready is the question. What is your eternal destiny? What is your eternal address? It's an important thing because Jesus Christ could come back at any time. And that's number three. Prophecy affects the way you live. If you believe Christ can come back at any time, it'll affect the way you live. 1 John 3 says this, he that has this hope of the Lord's return purifies himself even as he is pure. We don't want to be walking this life blind, not knowing that Jesus can come at any moment and take us home. Be sure, we've had this study before, I think it was last week, be sure that you know that you're born again as we've wrapped up 2 Corinthians. That was the topic of that passage. So if you understand Bible prophecy as you ought to, it'll have a purifying effect, a positive effect. And that's what's important. Now in chapter 12 of Daniel, the prophet gave different visions Daniel got. And he couldn't wrap his mind around them. What does all this mean? The angel gave him these visions and responded in Daniel 12:4. He says, you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end. Many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase. In other words, the angel was saying, look, Daniel, you're not going to understand this stuff. A lot going to happen after you've died. So just write it down for the people at the end. They'll get it. And I believe we're living in those days that Daniel prophesied of. He unfolded it. The Bible tells us there will come an army of 200 million. A lot of things the Bible predicts that's happening. There will be an army of 200 million identified as the kings of the east that'll march through the dried up Euphrates and head to the valley of Megiddo, part of Israel, and that's the Battle of Armageddon. John wrote in the book of Revelation, there will be, when he wrote that, there wasn't even 200 million people living on the earth at that time. But he specifically said there were an army of 200 million. Now, who could possibly field an army of 200 million? Wrong. Finland. Huge military, little known fact. Joking, just kidding. You're right, China. Sorry. Not only, thank you, China's the right answer. Not only could China do it, China has said we could put an army of 200 million on the ground. They've said the word. 200 million they used. Kings of the East? I don't know. Good chance. Large force north of Israel, identified as Gog and Magog, will come and attack Israel. People say Gog, Magog, that's modern-day Russia. Interesting, Ezekiel 38. Allies of Magog as Persia. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, modern-day Iran. Persia. So we see that and look at the latest episode in Iran. This unsettled region, it plays into the end times. And so they've stated many times that they're sponsored terrorism. They want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And Israel plays a key role, specifically Jerusalem. And we've just moved our embassy to Tel Aviv, or they have, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which is a good decision. They just celebrated their 70th anniversary, April 2018. Little city plays a pivotal role. Zechariah 12:2 says, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. No doubt about it. I just want to alert everybody and encourage you to study end times prophecy. If you need to learn more about this, make sure you fill this thing out. I'll send you information and answer your questions on any of this. I'll help sort things out, and I'll show you what are red flags. There's a lot of garbage out there for sure, so be careful with this. We've got to be able to square it with the Bible. But I'd like to just say we are living in the last days, and I'd liken it to dominoes. You know, I'm not the biggest bones player, maybe you guys are, but what I know about dominoes is I like to knock them over. That's how I play dominoes. I don't know about the rest of you guys. To me, that's dominoes. You stack them next to each other, you knock the first one over, it hits the next one. That's prophetic events. Once that one goes, it's going to happen rapid succession. And once the next event is the rapture of the church. So what we see is the world stage is being set. And then there's going to be harpazo. We're going to be caught up in the air, and we'll be in heaven. I've got a lot more to teach, but I'm going to kind of have to wrap it up here because I'm running out of time. But we'll be caught up into heaven, and then these end time events are going to be like dominoes all across. There's going to be the great tribulation is going to be poured out, and then at the end of that there will be what's called the millennial reign. We will return in the second coming. So the rapture is not the second coming. The rapture, the second coming is twofold, right? We're caught up to meet with him. He comes for us, and then we come with him to rule and reign in the millennial reign. And that's what we could look forward to, the rapture of the Bible. So let me read this one more time. The Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We should all be longing for this. We'll be finally free from sin. We'll be in God's presence forever. And we should be comforting. This should be a comforting teaching full of hope, because God wants us to encourage each other. And we're going to be taken away by the Spirit to meet him in the Lord, to meet him in the air. And those in sorrow or grieving over their loved ones, we can have comfort because we're going to see them again. We'll all be together. So we're to encourage one another. Hope this was helpful. I want to just give you an update on prophecy, that it's all around us. We could spend another week, 24 hours a day, studying this topic. but I just want to kind of give you an appetite to go home and search the scripture. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the hope that we have, the hope of our calling. You've called us to live a life of holiness and purity set apart for you. And may we live a life of separation from the world around us that wants to drag us down.